Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to Better Living, a show about the people and organizations that make an impact in our area. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. Two guests on the program today, Condell Garden with Interfaith Ministries of Denton, joins me in the second half of the show to discuss how her organization is helping improve the lives of those in Denton. We're going to start off with the flu. Dr. Rhea Joseph is an internal medicine physician with WellMed in South Buckner. How are you doing today?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing very good. You are, I believe, my third doctor.
Oh, okay.
So,
but I get the most exciting topic, right?
Absolutely.
The flu shot.
But it's an important topic. It's something I was approached with this interview. It was pitched to me, and I immediately said yes because it is one of those things where there's a lot of questions, and I think that there's a lot of simple answers.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of myths out there that I'm hoping I can bust today so that people are a little bit more receptive to getting the flu shot this season.
I think it's important, especially nowadays, because unfortunately it seems that there's a lot of questions regarding vaccines and what is good for you and what you should not do. The science is clear. It's always been the same. And having a medical professional in here to reinforce that, I think, is a smart idea.
Exactly. So I know there's a lot of controversies out there, and specifically, we'll talk about the flu shot today. So I think what people mostly think about it is when they get the flu shot, you know, they think that they're developing the flu the very next day.
That you're going to get sick.
Right, right. And that's just absolutely untrue. Now, why is because the flu vaccine is not a live vaccine. We're not giving an actual virus to you. So the symptoms that, you know, most people experience, especially, you know, I had the same thing. You get a little soreness where that needle went in, maybe a little bit of a fever, maybe a little bit, you know, symptoms just that very first day. But that's not the flu. That's actually your body's immune system just reacting to the vaccine and preparing itself to when you know, if and when you're exposed to the flu later on. So it's an inactive virus and you're not getting the flu if you get the flu shot.
So any kind of bad feeling or ickiness, let's say, that you feel after getting a flu vaccine is actually your body working correctly, and it's a healthy response.
Exactly. It's your immune system sort of, and I'm using a big word, antibodies. It's just preparing itself for that war if it happens later on.
I think that's important because, honestly, I feel like a lot of people, when they hear flu vaccine, they know that it's something you're supposed to do. They know it's the right decision to make, but they realize I'm going to have to get sick for at least one day to get the benefits from this. Not true.
Now, it doesn't happen to everyone. So some people might develop a little bit of those reactions, like I said, you know, a little fever, maybe a little cough here and there, but not everyone. So, for example, mine was just a local reaction, you know, right where the needle went in, and I didn't have any problems after that.
When did you get yours? When is a good time for people to get the flu vaccine?
So the best time is between September, October, right around when the flu season is about to kickstart. So you want to get it about 2 weeks before then so that your body has an appropriate amount of time to build that response. Now, it is mid-November. Is it too late? Absolutely not. The flu season, it can go up until even May. So this is a good time, you know, especially since we see the bulk of the cases around now, you know, November to February. That's when we see most people come in with the flu. So if you get it right now, it's definitely not too late.
Let's learn a little bit more about what you do. You focus on internal medicine.
Yes.
Now, I can probably divine a little bit about what that's about just based on the name, but what does a doctor in your field do?
So I'm at the WellMed at South Buckner right now. So I am an outpatient primary care physician. So I focus mostly on hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, sort of the day-to-day illnesses. Now, we're also very focused on preventive medicine. So, you know, if I had a patient come into my office, I would be talking to them about mammograms and colon cancer screening, everything to kind of prevent you from developing illness later on in life.
So at this point, you really are focusing on people keeping healthy as opposed to helping those that are sick.
Yes and no. So, you know, we do get a bulk of patients that are already ill, and it's just to make sure that they're stable with their illness. But yes, we put a huge emphasis on prevention. So, you know, getting those yearly blood work, yearly screenings, and one of them being, of course, a flu shot.
How did you get into this field of medicine? Doctors have a lot of different options, and I'm always curious as to how you found what you're doing.
So internal medicine, there is a lot of fields within internal medicine. And I think that's what prompted me to go towards it. So, you know, cardiology, which is about the heart, oncology, which is cancer, pulmonology, which is lungs, all of these fields, you start off at the internal medicine level and then build up to these. So I just liked that I got to learn a little bit of everything. And that was my sort of opening towards internal medicine.
Does that mean that you are going to focus on something later in your career?
Maybe. I haven't thought that far yet.
That's a good answer. I feel like people are always pushing people. It's like, hey, I'm a doctor. Like, leave me alone a little bit.
Well, the fellowship years luckily aren't too long. They're about 2 to 3 years, depending on which field you choose. But I just like, you know, once you've specialized, for example, cardiology, you're only going to see cardiology. You're really not going to see some of the other ones versus, you know, I get to see a little bit of everything. And that's very exciting.
You are a young doctor for people that can't see us, obviously, because this is radio. How long have you been a practicing doctor?
So this will be my second year out of residency.
How does it feel?
It feels great. It really does. You know, residence, it's a long process to get here.
How long is residency?
So internal medicine is 3 years long.
3 years.
3 years. But by the end of it, you feel prepared.
What is more exciting, actually graduating med school or getting done with residency?
I would say residency. So I think coming out of medical school, you have all that book knowledge and you do have, you know, hours and hours of clinical experience. But residency is when you're thrust into that real world of medicine. And I think it's very exciting. By you know, mid to end of third year, you feel very confident. And that's a good feeling.
So you're confident at the end. I'm going to guess that you feel confident going into residency because, as you said, you've done a lot of book studying. Is the reality of being a doctor, is that hard? Is it what you expected? Surprising? What experience is that like? Because I feel like it could be kind of a rude awakening, let's say.
I think so. I mean, there's definitely a couple of things that you don't see in the books because every person varies, right? So person A and person B can have the exact same illness, but they present it to you in a different way. So the books, you know, they help you with that, I guess the terminology and that base knowledge, but you really learn when you see it in a person, and that can vary from person to person.
Is it the mystery of all of this stuff that interests you? Is it purely the science? You've mentioned a couple of times about how there's a lot of different things that you can get into and that excites you. What is it about being a doctor that actually really gets you going?
So I've always wanted to be a doctor. I really can't think of a time that I didn't want to be. And most of it comes out of helping people. And so, you know, I think that's where medicine, just overall, you're helping multiple people throughout the day. Yes, the science is interesting. Yes, the learning was, you know, hard but fun. But when it comes down to it, it's all about helping people.
Did you study in the area? Are you from the North Texas area? You work here now.
Yes. So I went to medical school at Texas Tech, and I did residency here at Methodist.
All right. I went to Texas Tech, too.
Oh, there you go. Guns up.
Guns up. I did not go to med school. I think that we probably had real different time when we were both in Lubbock.
Maybe.
That probably is a hilarious story, but we're not going to get into that. You already mentioned that there's a good time to get it, but it's not concrete. Basically, any time that you get it is probably going to be better than not getting it at all.
Exactly. It's better than not getting it at all. And right now is as good as a time to go and get it because we're right in that, you know, the heat of it. And last year's flu season was very brutal. The CDC actually labeled it as one of our most high severity. That's actually the words, the terminology they used across all age groups.
Mm-hmm. How is this year, actually, before we even get to this year, why was last year so bad? Do you guys have an understanding of that?
So, yes and no. The flu vaccine does vary year to year. This is why it's important that people get it every year, as opposed to some vaccinations where you just need 2 to 3 doses or even just one and you're good. The flu vaccine changes every year. So it's based on the strains that are most likely to be at play that year. Now, last year's flu season was brutal because some of the strains that were causing these diseases were not captured in the vaccine. Mm. So there were many people who developed pneumonia, bronchitis, you know, even sinus and ear infections can happen from the flu virus. The CDC actually says that about 140 to 710,000 hospitalizations can happen due to the flu. And that's a large number. Now, comparing it to this current season, the numbers haven't come out yet. It's still a little early in terms of how severe the season is. But personally, to me, based on my clinic, it does seem like a milder season than it was last year. Now, last year by now, I would say between me, another physician, and the nurse practitioner we have at our office, you know, we were seeing about 2 to 3 a week, 2 to 3 positive flu results a week. As of now, at this point, we haven't seen any.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that's a good start.
Yeah, we have one patient, but he wasn't screened at our clinic. But, you know, one.
One is not bad.
It's not bad. But that's because I feel like more people have also gotten the flu vaccine this year because of, you know, everything that happened last year.
Let's talk about what the flu actually is, because I think that a lot of people kind of confuse the flu with the common cold. Are they different? How about that?
So they do have some similar
attributes?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, you know, for some people, it's just as easy as missing a couple of days at work. And so that's where it has the common cold commonalities, where, you know, you're just in bed for a couple of days and then you get up and you go. But some people are less lucky, okay? So some of the diseases, like I said, with the flu, it can progress to very severe pneumonias, bronchitis, which are all lung infections that can land the patient at the hospital where they need to be ventilated, where they need to be on, you know, IV antibiotics. So it is a more severe reaction if you get to that point. That's the major difference. Some of those initial symptoms of fever, body aches, you know, congestion, all of that can mimic any viral illness. But it's what can happen with the flu later on during the disease process that makes it different.
Can you explain why people get body aches when they get the flu? All the other stuff I can understand. I've never understood why your body, your muscles, your body physically aches. What is that?
It's an overall sort of generalized deconditioning because of how sick the virus makes you feel.
Okay.
But it is one of the, you know, the tidbits that I listen for when people are describing their symptoms for me. Mm. Muscle aches definitely is one of the ones that points me more towards the flu than, say, other organisms.
All right, so that could actually be something that would let you know if you're wondering what's going on. If you're feeling physically just super gross and your muscles ache, you might think, all right, possibly flu, probably time to go see a doctor.
Yes, I would say so. And it's as easy as a 15-minute swab. That's as fast as we can tell you your results if you have the flu or not.
Are there certain groups of people or ages that are more susceptible to the flu? Groups that should be getting the shot?
Yeah, so there are some groups where their immune system is not as strong. So we want to make sure that these groups particularly go and get their flu shots. And those are, you know, people over the age of 65. Just overall, their immune systems are not functioning as well as it used to be. Same thing with pregnant women, children. So their immune systems are not as strong. Other groups of people that we pay particular attention to are those who have problems with their lungs to begin with. So if you have asthma, if you have COPD, those are also, or any other lung diseases, really, those are also another group that we like to target about the flu vaccine.
In some of the interview prep that you sent over, it said that people over 6 months old, I didn't think that kids that young would get it.
Yes, it's definitely not my area of expertise, but
It starts that early.
It starts that early.
So almost literally anybody can get a flu vaccine, and that's what you guys encourage.
Yes, yes. Now, I haven't seen a six-month-old in a long time. most of my patients are on the adult side. But yes, we promote getting that flu vaccine if it's right for you.
What should people do outside of the vaccine to help keep themselves healthy during this time of year? As you mentioned, this season, it almost feels like it gets longer and longer each year. Besides getting a flu vaccine, what can people do to help keep themselves healthy and avoid the flu in general?
Mm-hmm. So overall, in general, it comes down to hygiene. So you want to make sure that you wash your hands. You want to make sure that when you're in a public place and if you've touched, you know, elevator buttons or, you know, walking down the stairs and you've touched certain parts of it as you're going down, you want to make sure that you're not touching your face. So the way that flu spreads is via droplets, okay? So if someone has the flu and they sneeze or they talk and their, you know, droplets from their mouth can literally go anywhere, including if you're talking to someone face-to-face, sometimes these very tiny droplets can fall right into your mouth. And that's how we should try and prevent. So for example, if you're coughing, cover your mouth, wash your hands. If you're sick, stay home. You know, you don't want to be talking. You don't want to be out in the general public getting more and more people sick. And one of the big things that we tell people are, if you've been diagnosed with the flu, if you've been told you have the flu and you're having fevers, stay home. When you know that you should be coming out into the general public is after 24 hours of not having a fever without the help of Tylenol or ibuprofen or other medications. Now, that's very important. For example, if you took Tylenol, you know, that's going to bring your fever down. But it's that 24 hours without the help of any aids. That's how you know that you can go out.
Are you less contagious at that point or are you not contagious at that point?
I would say less contagious.
Less contagious.
Less contagious.
It's a thing that people don't want to really do anymore is stay home from work. I mean, some people do, but in certain industries, you don't really have much of an option sometimes.
Sure.
In radio, it's really important that people stay home when they are sick because there's a lot of sharing of microphones and things like that. So when somebody does get sick, everybody in the building wants them to go home and stay there, or else you run the risk of getting an entire floor's worth of people sick really fast. I have seen that happened.
So, absolutely. Now, is this microphone clean?
I definitely cleaned it.
Okay.
I swab stuff with wipes. I'm real into that. Mm-hmm. I've gotten more and more into that. Does that work? Is that helpful?
It's better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
I like that.
So I'm also a big proponent of wiping everything down. You know, I clean my stethoscope in front of my patients between every single one of them because it's very important. I mean, some of the organisms that we have now, including the flu vaccine, like I said, it's droplets. It doesn't take much for you to touch something and then touch your face and you've infected yourself. So
hand sanitizer,
exactly.
Your professional opinion. What do you think about that stuff?
Again, better than nothing. Some are better than others. You want to make sure that you look at the ingredients, you know, alcohol based versus non.
So you want alcohol based hand sanitizer.
That's what we use in the clinics and hospital settings.
I'm going to go with that. If that's what y'all are using, that's what I want to use. So alcohol based. What are they called?
Hand sanitizers.
Hand sanitizers. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we might as well talk about it. Hand washing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you properly wash your hands to make sure that you are getting rid of what's on your hand, at least as good as you could?
Sure. So the easiest way that I, you know, remind myself is I sing the happy birthday song two times in my head.
Oh,
as
all
I'm
right.
washing my hands.
Okay.
You know, and at the South Buckner Clinic, you know, on top of every faucet, we actually have a picture that shows, you know, what motion to do at one point. Each point, actually. So, you know, between your fingers, both hands, how long you should be staying between, you know, each hand. And then again, like I said, in terms of time, because you can't be exactly looking at your watch when you're washing your hands. So I sing the happy birthday song in my head.
So you have it's almost like a dance card. You
yes.
have it all set up. You got all the moves in front of you and you're able to kind of figure out what you're doing and how to do it right. Dr. Rhea Joseph is an internal medicine physician with WellMed in South Buckner here in Dallas. When you think about this area of medicine and making sure that people get vaccines when they need to. Is this something that interests you as a professional? Do you find this stuff interesting?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when it comes down to it, preventive medicine is better than waiting for someone to get sick and then treat them at that point, right? You want to try and catch it beforehand. And that's where the screenings come into play. But vaccinations are also a way of trying to reduce the risk of you developing a disease. Now, for example, I believe you had touched on this before, the flu vaccine is never 100%. Okay, we can never, there are way too many strains. There's, it's very difficult. I shouldn't say impossible because, you know, everything at some point may be possible, but 100% of capturing every strain that might infect someone that flu season is very hard. But the flu vaccine, 40 to 60% reduction. That's a fairly large number. Yeah. 40 to 60% reduction of risk of developing the flu this season.
So just because it's not a 100% blocker, that it's not a good reason not to get it. Give yourself an edge.
Exactly. There may only be, you know, a handful of people who get so ill they have to get admitted to the hospital, but you don't want to be that one person.
When did you start getting interested in preventative medicine? Was this something that you learned as you grew as a doctor? Did you go in knowing that this was a field that you would want to be in?
No, I don't think so. I think I definitely picked it up during residency. So when, you know, we see these extremely ill patients and you talk to them, a lot of them told me if they knew, if they only knew 5-10 years ago, how easy it would have been to just take their medications, control their blood pressure, you know, control their diabetes by eating right, losing weight, just a handful of things. If they only knew and if they were only stressed about it over and over again, then maybe they wouldn't be in the place they are right now. And so these were patients who were extremely uncontrolled diabetes or blood pressure, ended up having heart problems, surgeries, etc. So preventive medicine meant that I could maybe help people not to get to that point in their lives.
Do you think the general public is learning more and understanding about their bodies and the things that they should do to help make better decisions? Do you see a trend going towards healthier, let's say?
I would say 50-50. There's definitely...
That was such a diplomatic answer. Yes. I almost heard your eyes roll.
No. I think there are people who are taking a more active role within their health, which I think is very, very good. I mean, read about it. And with, you know, the internet these days, you have access to so many things. So read about what's important to you. Read about how you can change your health in a positive way and talk to your primary care doctors. So if you don't have a primary care doctor, that's step one, you know? So that's step one. You get to go into their office. You talk about your health, any problems that you may have had in the past and any that you want to avoid in the future. Now, you know, we see the other side too, where it's a little harder for some people to understand, but that's what we're here for. You know, we want to help you understand. So talk to your primary care doctors, ask them those hard questions, ask them anything that worries you. And, you know, hopefully we can answer those and get people into a more healthier lifestyle.
Do you get frustrated sometimes when you're dealing with these kind of scenarios and stuff like that? As a doctor, do you get frustrated, or is that just part of the job and it's something that you have learned to live with?
Now, you know, I actually have patients who ask me that, and I always tell them it's about their life, right? I mean, it's nothing for me to get frustrated about. I'm just trying to help that person become, you know, or have a healthier lifestyle. To me, I haven't gotten to that point where it's frustrating. I think you just tell them the facts and hope they understand, and then, you know, you kind of monitor and see what happens.
Leading horses to water type thing.
Exactly.
Is the simple advice the best advice for staying healthy? Eat good, get moderate exercise at least, go see a doctor once a year, those kind of things. Is that really what it takes to be a healthy human being, provided that you're not already with some sort of illness?
Yes, you read my notes. So that's exactly right. You know, no matter what type of illness you have, of course, there are some that are treated better with, you know, eating right, exercising, getting those, you know, 8 hours of sleep, drinking those water. Of course, all of that comes into play with some diseases more than others. But even with your more serious illnesses, that foundation is still there.
Maybe more important, I would guess.
I would say so. You know, you want to make sure that your body is healthy enough to fight if you have a more serious illness. So yes, I agree.
Where should people get the flu vaccine? Is there a good place to get it? Is there a bad place to get it? Does that matter?
I don't know about bad places.
If there's a guy at the gas station offering flu vaccines.
That's a bad place.
All right, there you go. Okay, so there's always a bad option.
This is true. I never considered that. I haven't been offered the flu shot at a gas station.
Some bootleg vaccines?
Which gas station do you go to?
At the Texaco down the street? No?
No. So I would say, you know, contact your primary care doctor first. Make sure that you're, because, you know, there are different types of flu vaccines, and we want to make sure that the high dose one, if you're appropriate for that, your primary care doctor will tell you. And if their office has it, then it's as simple as going to their office. Many pharmacies provide it, so it's just about finding what's easy for you, as long as you get the flu shot.
How long does it last? That's something I've never actually really thought about. We were talking, there's a flu season, mm-hmm. but it's not like the vaccine knows how many months this season is going to last. How long is the vaccine good for? Is there any time when you would have to get more than one?
So there isn't an exact time period for it. It's once per flu season, which we equate to about a year. So once a year is the easy answer to that. I wish I knew if there was, you know, a sort of a waxing waning period. I'm sure there is, you know, later on, once you've had the flu shot, months afterwards, of course, it's going to wane a little bit, which is why we give it to you during the flu season.
That makes sense. I mean, and it's an annual flu shot.
Yes.
So once a year, I guess that makes sense.
Yes.
Do all medical professionals have to get the vaccine? Is this standard practice for doctors and nurses?
It's highly recommended, and I know at my clinic, everyone has it.
Is it, again, back to frustration, uh-huh. is it frustrating to see people not making simple choices like this, where it's just like, just go get it?
I don't know if frustration is the right word for it.
I don't know why I keep going back to that,
but I
feel like it's an interesting way to look at life when you are able to truly understand what we're talking about the way that you do, and you see people making certain choices that are maybe not the best.
Absolutely. I think it comes down to, on our end, making sure we've done our part. And that includes, you know, explaining the pros and cons about the flu shot, making it available for those who need it. And so once I've done that much, I feel like, you know, we've done our part. And then, of course, you know, every individual should be able to make those decisions for themselves. And so we leave it up to them.
I feel like we've learned a lot about the flu today. Is there anything else that people should know about it?
I would say the most important thing is, you know, if you have any questions about it, talk to your doctor. Talk to your doctor to, you know, read about it as well. You know, the internet has lots of sources. Now, you know, pick carefully because some are peer reviewed and some are not.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Be very careful about that. But at least, you know, a little self-education before you talk to your primary care doctors. That way, if you come across any questions during your reading, they can help you with it. And, you know, hopefully convince you to get the flu shot.
I always joke that when you're trying to figure out what's wrong with you via the internet, that you're about two clicks away from having cancer.
Or dead.
Because it always, it happens. It's like, I have a bruise in my arm. It's like, well, maybe you hit it on something, or it's arm cancer.
Yes.
What? No. So learn a little bit, but take that knowledge with you to a real doctor.
Exactly. You know, they can answer those questions for you. And referring to what I was just saying, there was a meme out there that said, you know, if you look online for your symptoms, chances are you're probably already dead.
It's very true.
Yes.
All right. Well, again, I really do appreciate your time. Dr. Rhea Joseph is an internal medicine physician at WellMed in South Buckner. I really appreciate your time today. I'd love to have you back, and we can talk about something else next time if you would like.
Sounds good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.